Thank you very much, Larry. Good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to be with you today, and I really mean that. I've been working with the Cotton Council on and off for the last 20 years since I came to Washington, D.C., and you have an impressive trade association. I can say that in all honesty. And coming here today and listening to the to these speakers and to the program you're looking forward to over the next day or so, it is really quite impressive. You do a lot of very good work and you have good people working for you. So thank you very much. I'm going to jump right into it. You can't really talk about an outlook for the Farm Bill conservation programs in 2009 unless you start talking a little bit about what's going to happen under the Obama administration. And there, of course, that is a lot of speculation on my part, and so I have a little trepidation about doing that. But I think we can say, on the basis of what we've seen so far in terms of President-elect Obama's selections for cabinet positions and related officials, that he is meaning what he says, and his actions are conforming with what he means, in that he's made it very clear that he intends to try and govern from the center. He intends to try and find a way to gain the votes of those people who did not vote for him in 2008 in the next election. And I think that those principles are going to be very much evident in the way that his Department of Agriculture will administer the USDA conservation programs. I think they'll look actively for ways to ensure that these programs work for farmers, ranchers, and production agriculture. I'm very impressed with what the Cotton Council is doing with Keystone and looking at your environmental footprint and various measures of sustainability. It's not as if you're asking the Obama administration to work with you in a manner that is not supportive of the environment. It's very clear that modern cotton production techniques have an outstanding set of benefits, both on energy use, carbon footprint, environmental effects, relative to alternative fibers and alternative production methods. And so hats off to you, and I think the administration will find ways to work with you all on the basis of that very good record. This is a Democratic administration, and so no surprise, there will be greater emphasis on certain aspects of the application of these programs to organics, organic production systems, and also to what we have traditionally considered sustainability in agriculture. But at the same time, I don't expect radical policy changes coming anytime soon, despite those pressures, even though there may be some increased emphasis there relative to what we've seen under the Bush administration. I would expect the Conservation Stewardship Program to get lots of attention. CSP's name was changed under the 2008 Farm Bill from Conservation Security to Conservation Stewardship Program. And the rulemaking on that program remains to be completed. It is probably the single most important program out of the 2008 Farm Bill that didn't make as much progress in the rulemaking by the end of the Bush administration in a couple of weeks. And the Obama team will have a significant role in shaping that program. So what I say about CSP is going to be speculative relative to what the legislation says. That's hard, of course. But how this will take shape under the Obama administration remains to be seen, and we will have lots of opportunities to comment on that. Just to give you a quick sense of the list of everything that was in the Farm Bill, or a subset of what was in the Farm Bill conservation title, don't worry, I'm not going to talk about this today. I can see Craig's heart just about having an attack there, thinking I'm going to try and cover all this. But no, it's just to point out to you that when I came into this business in 1987, working on the implementation of the 85 Food Security Act, where we were dealing primarily with swamp buster, sod buster, and the CRP, and from that time until 2008, where you see all of these programmatic activities, many of them with major price tags associated with them, offering significant benefits to farmers and ranchers that want to do conservation work on their farms and operations. It has now become a very, very, very big deal. And of course, now we refer to this as Title II, which follows right behind the commodity title. And I think that's a reflection of the importance that conservation has now taken in the passage of farm bills in Congress. I'm going to focus in on just a couple of these programs, many of which, most of which you'll be familiar with, but I think it'll give you a little bit of update on where these stand. The Environmental Quality Incentives Program, or EQIP, which was created in the 1996 Farm Bill and was funded at about $200 million a year, in practice about $160 million a year after the appropriations were done with it, was increased to about $1 to $1.2 billion per year in the 2002 Farm Bill, and the 2008 bill increased that budget again over 10 years relative to the baseline by $3.4 billion. So over the 2008 to 2012 time period, rather than about $6 billion, we are looking at $7.3 billion in the program. They modified the payment limit in the 2008 Farm Bill for EQIP. It's down from $450,000 to $300,000 per person over a six-year period. So it doesn't have to, it can be more than $50,000 per year, but over the six-year period, it cannot exceed this $300,000. There are provisions for a higher cost, payment levels for certain environmentally significant projects, but that limit is back to the $450,000. By and large, though, $300,000 is the tops that you can expect. The final rules have not been issued for EQIP yet. We keep on being told by USDA any day now in their work with OMB to complete everything out of the Farm Bill, and I think there's a good chance that the EQIP rules will be issued and final by January 20th. I should say in that regard that finalization of the rules from a NRCS perspective is not terribly important in terms of program delivery. They could do much of what came out of the Farm Bill by changing guidance for the program rather than a rulemaking. And so I don't expect any interruptions in program delivery, no matter what happens with the rulemaking for EQIP or for most of these other programs. Another program that could be important to you, and many of you might be aware of it in some of its past incarnations, it's the Agricultural Water Enhancement Program. It's referred to as AWEP. It is a subset of EQIP, technically, but I think you can consider it more or less a standalone program that operates much like EQIP. Back in the 80s, you might have seen this program as the Colorado River Basin Salinity Control Program. It has its roots in that kind of effort. It provides over the 2009 to 2012 time period $280 million in financial assistance. That's mandatory funds, so that's all hard dollars. And the point of AWEP is to help farmers adopt practices that will conserve water, also to protect water quality. But I think, by and large, if you have efforts where you are continuing to try and improve your water use efficiency and there are water quality benefits, you should be looking to AWEP potentially as a specific place to go for that assistance. AWEP also provides for specific work with regional entities that will work with groups of farmers to achieve water conservation, water quality protection measures. So in that same format of the Colorado River Basin Salinity Control effort, it's possible for a group to come to USDA and say, we want to work with this group of farmers to adopt this set of practices to protect and conserve water. And the program clearly allows for that to happen. And I'm sure that many of you have had experience with such work in the past, and this provides for it in the future as well, with more money. Conservation Stewardship Program. This is, again, the program whose rules really have remained to have a lot of work done on them. Major amendments were made to the old Conservation Security Program out of the 2002 Farm Bill. It was renamed the Conservation Stewardship Program. The 2008 Farm Bill permits anyone who has a contract under the 2002 CSP to continue to receive their payments under that program, under that program's rules, under that contract for the duration of their contract, but there'll be no more sign-ups under the old CSP. And we are now going to move into an era, once the rulemaking is completed on the new CSP, for a new program. This program will seek to pay producers to continue implementation of good conservation practices if that producer is willing to show improvement in key conservation areas on their operation. Another big change, of course, is that it's going to be available everywhere, not in just specific watersheds around the country. It was probably one of the single most unpopular aspects of the old CSP program and made it highly unusable. It is now going to be available everywhere. It will be limited, though, to no more than 12.769 million acres. That's just, they got that precise because they were trying to use every dollar they could for the program. And they can enroll 12.769 million acres in the CSP every year until the year 2017 under this new authority. They're going to be limited to on a national average basis, to limiting the cost of the program to no more than $18 per acre. That's the total of both financial assistance to the producer and the technical assistance to deliver it. So it was worked out with NRCS what they thought they could afford and what they could achieve in terms of certain good conservation practices, and that was what the budget allowed. In order to be eligible for the CSP, you must be able to meet currently a stewardship threshold, and that remains to be fully defined in the rulemaking, for at least one priority resource of concern on your operation. And over the course of the CSP contract, up to 6 years in length, 5 to 6 years in length, you need to be willing to achieve that same threshold for at least one other additional priority resource of concern. Many of these terms are going to be fully developed, or they're going to attempt to fully develop them in the rulemaking process. But you have some experience with these threshold considerations in issues like highly erodible land and whether or not we had to achieve T or 2T when it came to our compliance plans. Those are the kinds of discussions we're going to need to have through the rulemaking process, and the council is going to need to be very engaged in that to ensure that what comes out of this process will make a great deal of sense. In order to help them achieve this national average of $18 per acre, they are going to be making their payments retrospectively. This is a provision in the law. So the payments will be made in the fiscal year after the activities that have been undertaken. I am not clear as to exactly how they're going to give producers certainty about what kind of payments they're going to be able to expect to receive in return for the conduct of these activities. They're very, very aware of that issue and are working through that now. But the final payment rate itself will not be able to be established and the payments made until the fiscal year after the activities take place. If you want to participate and you submit an application, your application will need to be ranked. They're going to be looking at what kind of current and proposed conservation practices you are going to do on your farm. They're going to look at the resource concerns that you're willing to, that you are and are willing to address relative to what's considered priority resource concerns in your county or part of the state or that state. And they're going to look at the cost effectiveness with which you're going to be pursuing achieving those resource concerns. And they're going to look for the most cost effective applications to award first. The payment limit for CSP is lower than for EQIP. It's $200,000 over 5 years. Again, it's not an annual limit. It is a five-year limit. I'll conclude with some general observations about conservation programs and your participation in them. And you all have been very active in these programs over the years, and since the 2002 Farm Bill, I know your activity in them has stepped up even further as more resources were available in the programs for good work. But I think it's good to go back to some basics. I would encourage you to consider, if you are looking to really get involved in these programs, whether it's EQIP or CSP or Wildlife Habitat Incentives Program, or take your pick, to see if you can find a way to make the Farm Bill programs work for you to get a full-blown conservation plan for your operation. I'm not talking about a highly erodible lands conservation compliance plan here. I'm talking about, for those of you that may have some familiarity, working with an NRCS district conservationist or perhaps with a technical service provider that has the ability to do this, to take a look at your farm and think about what are all the resource challenges on your farm, how they all come together, how your pest management program, your fertility program come together with your erosion control program to achieve both your economic needs and your conservation needs on the operation. NRCS loves working with farmers that have such conservation plans because they can see how the farmer plans to move down the road to try and address various important concerns on their operation. If you want to be known as a conservation farmer, it helps a great deal for you to have one of these conservation plans. It's not as easy as it used to be to get these. Back in the 70s and 80s, this was basically what NRCS, or the old Soil Conservation Service, did for farmers. But you can do that, and the 2008 Farm Bill has provided in EQIP and other programs financial assistance explicitly for the purpose of helping you get conservation plans, and it's worth considering if you really want to engage with these programs. Participation in CSP looks a whole lot more clear once you have one of these plans, for example. I mentioned technical service providers a little while ago. The Farm Bill expands on the use of technical service providers, or TSPs, and provides for the use of conservation dollars, both financial and technical assistance dollars, if a farmer elects to try and retain the use of an approved technical service provider to provide conservation services to them consistent with the Farm Bill programs. How accessible this is to you really does depend on your state and your county. It requires work with your state and county. Some states are pursuing this more aggressively than others. But I encourage you to learn more about this, work with the council in DC to learn more about this, and pay attention to that program, because there could be aspects of your operation where you could make environmental progress, but NRCS is not necessarily in the best position to help you with it with their own people. But there could be technicians out there that are approved by NRCS that could help you write the plans, implement the practices that NRCS themselves may not be able to get to in a timely fashion, if at all. I know those of you that have been participating in the programs and the kinds of conversations I've had with some of you yesterday and today make it clear to me that you fully understand this, but it bears repeating. The only way really to make these programs work for you is to get engaged locally with the system. NRCS is a very decentralized organization. We can push things out of Washington down to the state level, but if the state con doesn't want it to work in the way that we want it to work in headquarters, it can become very, very, very difficult to get the state con to do that. The state con and their people at the county level are responding both to what headquarters tells them, to what the law says, and the pressures that they are experiencing at the state level, whether that's from their congressional delegation and all of the people that care about the programs being implemented in your states. So the wildlife interests, the environmental interests, the municipalities who care about water quality, and on, all those people come to the table with NRCS, state conservationists, to put pressure on them. But the rubber really meets the road at the county level, and every county can be different. Your local district conservationist working with NRCS and the conservation district can have different interpretations. Their relationships with people can affect what they are. They're humans like all of us, and so despite what some people believe, and they need to they respond to pressures, personal pressures, just like everybody else. So it's important that you get to know your local NRCS county staff, the district conservationists, and the staff that implement the programs. It's important that you get to know the local conservation district people and the supervisors in your county. You have to make your needs known to them. It helps if you can get them out to your farms to see your farms and understand your issues if they don't understand your issues. And unfortunately, that's becoming more and more common. And at the state level, when you want to engage with the state conservationist through the state technical committee, that can be a bear of a process. and I know it can be really frustrating for individual producers to engage. I encourage you to work with your counterpart, with your state associations and the folks you work with at the state level, to try and find partners to work with to leverage their participation in this whole exercise. So the state departments of agriculture, the state fish and game agencies, if you have good relationships there and things can work with them, or other groups, they often have staff who sit full-time and their job is to work with the state technical committee that NRCS, the state conservationist, manages. So if you can get them to be advocating for you in that state technical committee process, it's all the better, and it frees you up to be back on the farm raising cotton. Lastly, this farm bill continues something that was started in the 2002 farm bill and accelerates it, and I think it's really quite exciting. It encourages innovation in the development and dissemination of conservation practices that might be known to provide real environmental and conservation benefits but are not yet widely adopted. They do that through the Conservation Innovation Grants Program. And that program was reauthorized in the 2008 Farm Bill. It's part of EQIP. They put real money into it. These are million-dollar grants to demonstrate technologies, and I think they can be a real fine vehicle for you all. And also, the 2008 Farm Bill created something new called the Cooperative Conservation Partnerships Initiatives, or CCPI. And that's where they are looking to groups who want to work collectively with farmers to take advantage of almost any of the Farm Bill conservation programs, combine it with state and local incentives, and come up with a more custom-made, tailored program that will support your farmers' needs in a particular region or portion of a state, and do it as customized of a manner as possible. These are important innovations. The work that you've got going with cotton, the research work that you've got going in terms of developing new practices, as you want to get those demonstrated out in the countryside, conservation innovation grants can be a great tool to help you demonstrate those and support that with hard dollars. And cooperative conservation partnerships could be a way to provide support to you to achieve some of your more regional objectives related to pest management, nutrient management, and other work you might want to achieve. So, to say the least, I expect 2009 to be a very interesting year with lots of opportunities for you to work with these conservation programs. I think it's going to be a good year. There's a lot of good money there for good purposes. Your industry is well positioned, I believe, to take advantage of this because of all the work that you've done and you have going on. I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have afterwards if those come up. And I really appreciate the chance to speak with you this morning. Good luck to you all.